end of May. But that's to come. So there's a lot going on. But let's focus on something that is happening today in Westminster. This is something that we weren't an outlier on, but now we are, as a country, an outlier on. Because it was New Zealand that originally came up with legislation to ban a generation from ever being able to buy tobacco. That was under Labour's Jacinta Ardern. Well, Labour lost the election in New Zealand. It was now a right-wing coalition. They got rid of that. If we were in the UK, were to have a ban on a generation not being able to ever buy tobacco, it would be a world first. That's what the Prime Minister wants to do. Rishi Sunak wants to make Generation Alpha, that's anyone born since 2009, the UK's first smoke-free generation. Simply, anyone turning 15 from this year would be banned from ever buying cigarettes under the Tobacco and Vapes Bill. Now, how do you feel about a ban? I mean, let's be honest. Most people who started smoking didn't go into the shop and buy them legally, did they? And I count myself in that when I used to smoke cigarettes. Is it right to ban teens buying cigarettes? How do you feel about bans and smoking bans? It's not the first smoking ban, of course, because 2007, nobody was allowed to smoke indoors, effectively. Is it right to ban teens buying cigarettes? 08000 855 949. Your voice, your say, against the backdrop of Bristol and its tobacco history. Let's firstly speak to Professor Marco Manfano, who is part of the Tobacco and Alcohol Research Group at the University of Bristol. Good morning, Marco.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much indeed. Of course, Bristol University, great big thing there, which is the heart of it, Wills Memorial Tower. Wills, WDHO, Wills, tobacco.
Well, that's right. I mean, we've got a long history of tobacco in this city, but of course, partly as a result of that, we've got a long history of the harms of tobacco, and you can still see the consequences of that in those
yes.
parts of the city where tobacco used to be produced and manufactured. Even long after the factories that manufactured those cigarettes have closed down.
And of course, as I mentioned earlier, the latest statistics published by Bristol City Council, Health and Wellbeing, the smoking rate in Bristol, 16.4%. It's higher than the national average of 13%. So that legacy of smoking tobacco still permeates across the city of Bristol, as it does the West.
That's true, but of course that headline figure masks quite a lot of variation. So if you were in the sort of leafier parts of Bristol, up in Clifton or whatever, the rate of smoking would be lower than that. But if you go into the more or less affluent parts of Bristol, then rates of smoking are much, much higher. And for that reason, smoking is a real driver of social inequalities and health inequalities across different parts of society now.
So you look at that, which obviously is a matter of fact. You look at I'm old enough to remember being on a train and people smoking, being on the London Underground, as a sort of 8-9 year old, people smoking. I'm old enough to be on a plane with people smoking. None of that happens now. If someone was to light up on a plane or on a train or in a pub, it just wouldn't happen, would it, Marco? It'd just be utterly socially unacceptable. Regardless of the law.
Well, that's one of the ways in which we have made real progress, because all of the legislation, the tobacco control policies that have come in step by step over the years have gradually made smoking less visible, less socially acceptable, which has all helped to drive down rates of smoking and reduce, in particular, the number of people who start smoking in the first place. And that's really what this legislation is about, because once people start smoking, it's very hard to stop. And as you alluded to earlier, most people start smoking when they're 13 or 14. So it's not really an adult choice that they're making. And by the time they're an adult, then they're addicted and it's very hard to stop.
So how is this going? But bearing in mind what you just said there, a 13 or 14 year old can't buy cigarettes. You're not allowed to buy cigarettes, in fact, unless you're 18. So we have young teens smoking. We have law in place at the moment which says you cannot buy tobacco until you're 18. And we're now talking about banning an entire generation from smoking. So how is that going to square with what you just said?
Well, it's another part of the jigsaw, if you like, because by introducing this legislation, which I think will make a big difference, you are going to make it harder and harder for younger people to start smoking. Obviously, as you say, not everyone gets their first cigarettes by buying them from a corner shop, for example, but this is another step towards making it harder and harder for young people to start smoking in the first place, and therefore not creating the problem of there being addicted smokers who find it very difficult to stop. That's going to lead to a reduction in smoking rates over time, along with all of the other legislation and tobacco control policies that we have. And, you know, we need to remember that smoking is pretty much the most dangerous thing that you can do, at least legally, and that half of those people who go on to become regular smokers will die early as a result of their smoking. And that behavior of starting smoking is not something that is typically done as an adult. That choice is made, or rather, it's not an adult choice that's made. So anything that we can do to help prevent young people from starting, I think will be really positive.
In all the years I've done phone-ins, and it's probably a couple of decades, I don't think I've ever spoken to any adult who would want their children to smoke. I think any adult smoker would never want their children to smoke. So we have that as a first principle. And then if we look at this ban 20 years from now, there's going to be people in their early 40s who would never be able to buy tobacco, and people in their late 40s who would. How is it going to work long term? Or are we just working on a principle of this ultimately being a significant change in behaviour, like 2007?
So I think it will lead to a significant change in behaviour. And part of the reason for that, and again, it links to something that you said earlier, is that almost no one starts smoking when they're an adult or when they're in their 20s. People have tried their first cigarette by the time they get to 18 in most cases. So if we can just push people out of that window where they are at risk of starting, then they're much, much less likely to want to start in the first place. So those people who in, you know, however many years' time, 25 years' time, are turning 40, no one of that age is going to think, you know what, I really fancy a cigarette now.
No.
Because that just doesn't
happen. That's a fair point.
So if we can push people out of that risk window, then actually I think we'll see a dramatic drop-off in rates of smoking.
Professor Marco Mafana, thank you very much for joining me this morning on BBC Radio Bristol. Have a good day.